I'm so thankful those come, you guys that came today, because I feel compelled to get a word out about leadership, that get the army together, get the war horses gathered. And so I believe it's just real important for us to spend a few minutes in this. We'll probably be having some other seasons like this too, because we are under attack. I want you to know, you may have not sensed that, but maybe after tonight you'll understand that a little bit. And the greater potential that you have in this church, the more under attack you will be. And so, therefore, if you're not experiencing much, then that may tell you something. You may need to step up some there. But if you're experiencing difficulty. And when I'm talking about attack is usually revealed in physical areas, when you can tell when you're being attacked by the enemy, in physical areas, then emotional areas. Your emotions go haywire, and then spiritual declines. You feel spiritually dead at times. So those three areas tell us that we're under an assault of darkness. We're going to talk some about it tonight. I want to bring us a little bit aware of what I think that may be facing and how we can pray to help your prayer life to be able to fight against the enemy. Certainly don't think it's only us. I mean, there are groups all over this world, and especially in the United States, churches are experiencing difficulties just like what we are here in this church. I was just saying earlier about Gateway. Gateway, man, in such a warfare. And then the other areas, four areas that you tell is financially. Anybody having any financial difficulties or financial upheavals? Gateway just had to let go a third of their working staff. Man, that's a lot of people. And the reason they had to do that, because they said people were in the wrong places. They wasn't lining up in proper way to fight battles. And so that's what I'm trying to do here tonight, is to we'll be able to line up to fight and to protect each other and fight through these things. Because on the other side of this thing is a great harvest. It's a wonderful thing. I mean, just like the United States is just bulging on this, I believe this harvest is bulging in the United States right now. And so the enemy's trying to do everything he can to stop that. But because that you desire, the Bible says, if any man desire the office of, we're talking about the leadership, and I tell you, one of the greatest things is to desire to be in positions in the Lord and in his kingdom. And that's a great desire. But it also brings you up under attack. So Lane's going to come first and address some things on her heart, and then I'll be right back. And we ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the power of God to bless us and help us, Lord. Lord, we want to talk about things that's in your heart and your interest, Lord, and we want to share entirely from you. Lord, you're the only one. You're our commander-in-chief. You're the one that leads us into battle. You're the one that wins the battle. You're the one that gains the victory, and truly the cross of Jesus is what we hold up this afternoon. So, Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would help us. Help us with understanding, Lord. Help us to understand what to share. And then, Lord, let unity be gathered in here this afternoon, Lord, for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
At this stage of warfare, there are several good things about this stage of warfare, because the higher the level we go up, the greater the spoils are from the battles. And those of you that have been here any amount of time know that my favorite message to preach on is warfare and the spoils from the battle. I prefer to preach on that about more than any other thing I know of, because the Bible talks about how that God diligently rewards us when we seek him and when we have faith and when we do what the word says. And the spoils from the battle are the rewards of when we go through a battle. You know, when Jehoshaphat went into that battle, when the enemy was so immense they couldn't even count them. And so they never even had to lift a finger, you know, when they went into that war. He sent the tribe of Judah first, the praisers first. And when they went into battle, the enemy turned on each other and killed each other. And so when they got there to the battlefield, everybody was dead. And so for the next 3 days, they just went and got spoil and carried it home. And went and got spoil out of the enemy's tents and carried it home. Because, see, when they would go to attack another city, they would have to carry all their sheep and cattle to eat on. Because sometimes they'd have to besiege a city 2 or 3 years before that city would fall. So they had carried all this stuff with them, you know, to be able to hold out. And so when they killed each other, well, then all these tents were full of gold and silver and food enough to last 3 or 4 years, and sheep and everything. So what the children of Israel did, they go out there and they get a load and they bring it back home. And they go get another load and they bring it back home. And it took them 3 whole days to empty out. And that's all the nation getting spoil. So what I'm telling you is, the bigger the battle, the bigger the spoil. So you can focus on the battle or you can focus on the spoil. You get to choose. And you can whine about the battle or you can rejoice over the spoil. And I have this question asked me probably more than any other question dealing with warfare. Is how do you get your spoil? You get everything from God the same way. What is it? Faith. Everything comes by faith. And so if you believe that this battle that you're fighting, that there's going to be spoil when you win this battle, then you'll get that spoil. But if you don't, you won't. Because the word not mixed with faith don't work. You have to mix it with faith or it doesn't work. And so I always tell people, don't leave your spoil behind. When you win your battle, be sure and believe for the spoil too, not just to win the battle. And this level of warfare, it's like Stephen was preaching this morning, we've never been this way before. This is a path we've never walked before. And so the battles are new and different. The strategies from the Lord, they're not new to the Word of God, but we've never done them before. We've never walked in this way before. And so it's just going to take getting into the Word of God and studying the Word of God on a level that you've never studied it before. See, the Bible says that we are to rightly divide the Word of truth to please God, you know. And so we got to get in. And one of the spoils that I have already seen from, well, this issue with my knee, you know, a month ago, I came to prayer meeting on Monday night when we pray in the Holy Spirit for an hour. And I knelt down at that chair right back there at the back. There was nothing wrong with my knee. And after praying in the Holy Spirit for an hour, I got up and I have not been able to walk since. Just unbearable pain. And I know it is demonic because I didn't do anything but pray. All I did was pray. And so day before yesterday, my knee started getting way better. I got up in the morning, I could walk, I wasn't having any pain. Yesterday, I didn't have any pain, and I walked out in the backyard, and the sprinklers came on. And I turned around to run, and that knee completely locked, and I hit the ground again. So here I am believing again. So it's so demonic. It's just demonic. But the good thing about it being demonic and not actually being something wrong with me is that it has to leave just like it came. Instantly. It has to leave instantly. And those of you that know how Irish I am, I never lose a battle. I enjoy beating the devil way too much, and I can hold out way longer than he can. So he knows he's not going to win this. But every day that it goes on, I get more spoil. I get more spoil. And so I just, the spoil that I have already started receiving from this battle, all of my life since I've been saved, I've always, you know, the Bible says the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. I've always had this desire, because I am, my number one gift is teaching, and I spend lots amounts of time in the Bible reading, that whenever I could just open up my Bible, I could ask the Holy Spirit, where do I need to go? What do you want me to read today? You know, that's what I've always, that's been one of my greatest desires. And so, you know, I would try to hear God where to go. Never hear exact chapter and verse where to go. Never in all the years I've been saved. And so when this all started, I remember I got up one morning and I was, of course, I have certain things that I read every day, you know, certain promises that I claim every day. But then I like to read in other places. So I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, where do you want me to go today? And so, y'all probably use your Bible. I use my iPad. But when I hit the reference, you know, and it brings up all the books in the Bible, well, I just started praying. Genesis, Exodus, and when I started praying down through there, when I got to one of them, instantly, in the Holy Spirit, I felt the Spirit say, stop. And I stopped on that chapter, and the Lord gave me stopped on that book, and he gave me the chapter. So I go and look it up, and it's exactly, exactly what I've been praying about. So the next day, I get up and do it again. Exactly the same thing again. And it's been going on every day. Every day. In fact, now I do an Old Testament scripture and a New Testament scripture. And I'm just so amazed at how clearly I can hear the Holy Spirit tell me where to go. Now, that's probably not a big deal to some of y'all, but that is a big deal to me, because I've been asking the Lord for that for so many years, literally ever since I've been saved, which is over 40 years, you know. And so I just know it's the spoil from the battle. It's the spoils from this battle. And so you need to start looking for your spoils. You know, one of the prophetic words from one of the prophets this year was, we've got to have unrelenting faith for our unfulfilled promises. We just will not let up for the things that God has promised us. And so I'm just going to give you two of those verses that the Lord gave me. Because when all this battle first hit the church, and I told Shirley the other day, when we realized what a level of warfare was when Shirley fell and broke her shoulder. And so I told Shirley the other day, I said, it's a terrible thing that you fell and broke your shoulder, but us being up here with you has, I don't know, it's just brought us into another level of what God was wanting to do. And from that day till this, you know, the scripture says the kingdom of God suffereth violence, but the violent take it by force. I can honestly say that's when it started. The intensity of this battle was the day that Shirley broke her shoulder. But every day since then, we've just been seeing great attacks and great victories. You know, that was one of the prophetic words from Dutch Sheets, was that we would be able to take out big demons with one blow. And about 5 years ago, the Lord told me to read the book of Ephesians every day, because you can win every battle with the book of Ephesians. And when he said that morning about, you know, we're going to take out giants with one blow, it reminded me of what. So we're on such a powerful level of warfare. Those of you that have really been fighting warfare and for a lot of years, you're going to really enjoy this level. This is such a, I don't know, it's like on this level, we just see instant victories and instant spoils. And so it also makes it almost makes the battle worth it. Now, some of you are just beginning out in warfare, you know, and you're just learning to do war. And by the way, I think that message this morning was probably one of the greatest warfare messages I ever heard. That was so powerful. You need to get that CD, and you need to listen to it over and over. Almost every statement Stephen made was a message in itself. Almost every statement. Such powerful truth of how to win where we're at now. So I'm just going to give you two scriptures if you want to write these down. We overcome by the word of our testimony, the blood of the Lamb, and the word. So what we say and what we believe determines on whether we're going to win. You can believe it, but not say it and not win. Because the Bible says you can't be saved unless you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Takes both of them. So even if you believe you're going to win, until you begin to speak it out of your mouth, it's not going to happen, because God creates the fruit of our lips. See, that's why God used his mouth to say, let there be light. See, he didn't just think it. And it didn't just come from his heart. It came out of his mouth. Because the mouth is the door. It opens the door to the miracle. So you got to speak what you believe. Okay. This is Isaiah 26:1. And the heading of my Bible says, God's people will be victorious. But it said, in that day, this song shall be sung in the land of Judah. Now, you know, Judah means praise. Actually, what the word Judah means is to throw up the hand to God. That's what it actually means, but it's translated praise. Because, see, praise is not singing a song. Praise is when your heart knows who God is and that he always does right and he's going to win for you, and that's what you think about. That's what praise is. Because if you think about it, you talk about it. If you call yourself a praiser and you get up on the stage and sing and then you gripe all the rest of the time, you're not a praiser. Yeah, that's right. Call yourself a praiser, you know. Dance. If you love to dance and praise and love to do all those same things, you're not a praiser in the church, but you think you're a praiser, but then you fuss and fight all the time and all that, then you're really not a praiser. So this scripture is talking to people who are really praisers. You love God, and in your heart you love God. You talk about how much you love God, and you come to the body of Christ to love God. So you can't love Jesus without loving the church, because we are the head. He's the head and we're his body. Okay, so it says, and in that day, this song shall be sung in the land of the praisers. We have a strong city, and salvation will God appoint for our walls and our bulwark. So every time the enemy comes to me and tries to say, man, the church is really falling apart. People are not faithful. On Wednesday night, you've got this little tiny group. See, Wednesday night and Sunday night are your strongest people. So when you look around here on Wednesday night and Sunday night, we don't have very many strong people. Ouch. So, but this is what the Lord said. We're to start singing this song. We have a strong city. Salvation. We may be a small city right now, but it's a strong city. Salvation, that word salvation, is the word Jesus. It's all through the Old Testament. The word Jesus is all through the Old Testament. It says Jesus will appoint us walls, and that word bulwark is the word mighty army. The word wall means to surround something and join arm in arm so that it's protected. See, so Jesus has appointed to us this strong city, a wall of protection, and an army of angels to protect us. So while we're in the midst of all this battle, we don't have anything to be afraid of. The Bible says, 1,000 can fall at your right hand and 10,000 at your left hand. Right hand is the symbol of Christians because Jesus is the right hand of the Father. This is Psalms 91. And left hand is the symbol of lost people, people who aren't saved. So 1,000 Christians can die right beside you and 10,000 non-Christians, but it won't come near you. That sounds like a very prideful statement, don't it? 1,000 Christians can die over here and 10,000 lost people, but it didn't going to come near me. That sounds like a prideful statement, don't it? But God made that statement. We didn't make it. All we got to do is believe it and speak it for it to come to pass in our life. And then it says, open the gates so that the righteous nation can come in. Gates are thoughts and authority. I don't have time to preach on this, but I am going to preach on it pretty soon. All right, and then it says, and you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is on you. So what happens when you're midst of a battle is, your battle is to keep your mind on Jesus. Because what you want to do is put your mind on the battle. What this person's saying about you and what that person's doing to you and how you can't pay this bill and how you lost this job in the battle. You know, your mind is just going all the time on how to fix the problem. And there's no peace in doing that. The only peace comes from you taking the promises of Jesus and making that, sticking that in your mind where it cannot be moved. You just think that promise, think that promise, think that promise. Okay, and then I want to give you one more right quick. I could give you almost 30 because I've got one for every day, but let me give you this one. Okay. Okay. All right, well, I'll do that other one later. No, I couldn't find it right quick. I'll do it later.
All right. I tell you what, I need to pray for the Spirit of the Lord to, there's times, it's been about three times this has happened to me that's been going on in my spirit for the last 3 years, really, has been building toward it. The Bible said the Spirit of the Lord comes on and makes you a different man. And, you know, and I've always had this wonderful testimony, how sweet I am. After this season, I'm not sure you have that testimony about me anymore. Because really, it's the same way that when you come to correct and line up an army, it's different than when you're shepherding and nurturing an army. A shepherd and a nurturing is Jesus with a lamb. Lining up army is Jesus is the lion. It's the difference in walking into the money tables and turning them over. Shock! Why is he doing that? This is not like the wonderful, sweet Jesus we've known. When you look at Peter and say, you're not Peter, you're the devil. I mean, that's not like. There is the Spirit of God that's come upon me to line the army up. And it really began on me about 3 years ago. I've been getting stronger ever since. And because there's a shepherd heart in me, because a shepherd feels the wolf. He feels the wolf. And there are wolves that's creeping around our flock now. And I don't mean anyone in it. I'm talking about spirits of darkness that are creeping around the sheepfold. And I know they're just waiting. They're waiting for a hole in that sheepfold to take somebody down. And I don't want that. I don't want that. So if you're, I tell you what, you'll save me a lot of pain, you a lot of pain. If you don't like to be corrected, it'd be better to resign now. Really, because the Lord has, God has got us in this. And this has happened about three times in the last 40 years. And there's a strength and an anointing on me to line the army up. And it's on me all the time. And it's just like it, what it said that Saul was, the Spirit of God came upon. It happened to two different men in the Bible. The Spirit of God came upon them, made them into another man. And that's what I feel every time that this has happened. This happened to me about 20-something years ago. And then it goes back as like 30 years ago. But there is, when you can begin, it starts off by feeling the footprints of the wolf. That he's going around the sheepfold. And, you know, the shepherd built the little fences at night to keep his sheep in. And you can feel that wolf. And I'm just determined that we're going to get every hole, every breach filled. And so if you're easily mad, please, it'd be better just drop out during this season. If you're bothered by things, if you get easy, if you can't stand someone to just be honest with you and talk to you honestly, it'd be really better to drop out for this season, because this is too important. I know this stuff is real, and I may talk about some spirits this afternoon that you may laugh at and go out laughing at, but I just want to introduce some things to you, because see, I know these things play for good. They play for keep, and they play for good. And the Bible says that when a breach is created, the viper strikes. That's what the scripture says. And the enemy is there as that viper and just waiting to strike. So this is the time that we're going to get some things together. What Stephen was so good to preach about this morning was when they came. See, they were already saved and baptized. The Bible said they're baptized in the Red Sea. They came out of there, and then, but before they got to walk into their inheritance, the first thing they had to do is be all sanctified again. They all had to be sanctified by the Holy Spirit, by really the circumcision that they went through, the pain that they went through, because God can't let us walk into our inheritance dirty. God has to get us clean for our inheritance. And I don't know about you, and you know, you can play church, or it can be a fun little thing to you, but this, I've given 40-something years of my life here. This is where God's called me, and this is where God's called many of you. And I walk with people I've walked with in this church for 35 and 40 years. And it's not a game with us, and it's not hurting feelings, and it's not those kind of things. It's not a game. This thing is serious with us. We're going to go all the way to the end with it. And we're going to walk in one day, hear Jesus say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So what we're talking about in form of leadership. Jeremy, can you come fix this thing for me? It's all messed up. That what we're talking about in form of leadership, then we're talking about there's some during this season. I usually don't. The Bible says that I am I'm two things. I'm to feed the flock of God, and then I'm to take the oversight. You know, why did it say ask for the oversight? But it said take the oversight. What that means is those that's been given to me by the Spirit of the Lord that's in this church, that God has given me a spiritual oversight over your life. You need me more than I need you. And that's the truth of the matter is. You need this church more than this church needs you. And during this season, numbers are never important with us, but strength of spirit to say no to the devil are. Being strong enough to say no to the devil, being strong enough to stand up. And you can't do that with weak kids. You can't do that. That's why we have a nursery. That's why I have a children's church, and that's why I talk so bad, I guess. But during this season, but I have to let you know, this is a, God's put a strength on me to help our lives line up. Now, some of you that can do that, we'll walk and we'll be war horses for God. You that can't, then you still be in the sheepfold, but be in the sheepfold. Don't be a war horse. Because if you're going to be a war horse, you got to be strong. You got to take strong training. And you got to, so let's, all right, you've got your little sheets there tonight. We'll just kind of start through. It's what I began with the leaders, what I need you to do. This is what I need you to do to be a leader here. This is what I need you to do. Help us come up hard, be ready to face the enemy. All right, this is what I need you to do. Number one, I need you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I need you to do that. I need you. God needs you to do that. Do you not realize that leadership in the body of Christ, there's that's major qualifications, is to be, the Bible said, look out among you and choose men that are full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Those two requirements needs to be in any, because what it is, when you're serving as a leader, anybody under you is vulnerable. And so what you really need to do, you need to press through. So number one, press through to be filled with the Spirit and whatever it takes. And just talk to the Lord about that. And just say, God, I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want you to help me to do that. Because my church needs me to do that. Number one, that's the way I would do that. My church needs me to be filled with the Spirit. It's not cleaning dirty floors. It's not even fixing up construction in here. We need you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're a leader, and you need to bring forth, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then begin to be able to pray in tongues regularly. Because where God is carrying us is too much for your mind. It's going to take engaging your spirit. And as long as you pray in the natural, you will have, God will answer natural prayers. He answers ours all the time like that. But in season, that's why the military now, the military as we know it, they don't do any much hand-to-hand combat. When it gets down to hand-to-hand combat, that you can see what you're fighting, by that time, it's rough. Most of the things where we fight, you can't see what you're fighting. In the military, I'm talking about. Gary is working in missiles that probably shoot miles. You never see. You see a bleep on some kind of something, and you shoot at it. You know, I mean, and so that's what I'm telling you. Where we're going to be flying, we need you to be filled with the Spirit, because it's going to take more than your mind. And what you're doing as a leadership in a spirit-filled church, because the battles can be greater, because the enemy matches up with what you have that you have availability to do. The enemy matches up with that. A church that's not filled with the Holy Spirit probably wouldn't have near the opposition. But the enemy matches you up to for your calling. So you don't need to be flying blind. I mean, you're gonna, if you're a leader, you got those under you. And what that means is you're gonna be up there a hold to the in that cockpit, and you're going to be trying to look at every cloud with your eyes, and you're gonna be trying to look and see if an airplane's coming. You've got to be able to fly by your instruments. And the instrument God's given us is the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'm begging you, as shepherd, I'm begging you, the greatest thing you could do for this church is to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then the breakthrough until you can pray in tongues. You need to pray a supernatural prayer. You really need to do that. And God will help you. All right, second thing is to learn to sit quiet in the presence of God. This is an unusual season. You need to learn how to sit in the presence of God and sense the presence of God. There's going to be much that's going to be so needful of that during this season. In fact, there's going to be during this season, many of you are going to be healed, and that's where your healing is going to come. And many of you, I mean, God wants to give you some supernatural direction for those that you're serving over. And to do that, you've got to learn the presence of God. And I'll tell you, I'm shepherd. I just tell you, the best way to do that is this: is to find you a place to sit, or find you a place to sit, a stand. Put you on some music, because music is a form of worship. But I'm just gonna go this step. You need a whole section that has no words in it. As long as you're just listening to praise music, got words, what that means is you're being led by somebody in to a certain place. And until you get something that's not has words, then the Holy Spirit, usually every time I found this, I ask you how many, I found this picture. Every time I go into the presence of God with expectancy to talk to God about one thing and get answers on one thing, He usually talks to me about something totally different and gives me answers about something totally different. And if I'll trust that, that will always carry me forth. And I'll find out that I went there for didn't even need an answer. You can trust God. I mean, I don't know how many mornings I go forward and say, Lord, I make my plans. When I'm hitting situations all through the day, I say, I'll tend to that in the morning. I learned that from Peggy Brumley. I'll tend to that in the morning. I'll tend to that in the morning. A situation is trying to make you make decisions, so I say, I'll tend to that in the morning. What I'm talking about, I'll tend to that in prayer. But almost every day that I get up with my intention to go into that prayer closet to have specific things to talk about, in the midst of that, God starts talking to me about something totally different. And if I listen to Him and trust His eyes, I can trust His eyes, what He talks with me about will usually be the thing that is controlling this area I wanted to talk to Him about. I'm saying you can trust God. And you just got to be able to do that. Learn to sit in the presence of God. And number one, don't try to hear from God first. Learn to sense God. Just learn. See, the Bible says, be still and what? And know that I am God. Be still. How are you going to know God? Be still. So what you want to do is just take seasons that you say, God, I want to learn to sense Your presence. I just want to learn this. I want to know that You're here. I want to know. Now, I accept that all by faith, but I need to be able to sense, because Jesus operated with that greater sense of His Heavenly Father. When the greater sense of His Heavenly Father was present, everybody got healed. When Jesus was there and it was left up to Him and not sensing that greater presence, then everybody was healed He prayed for. But when He was sensitive to the presence of God, to where the presence of God would come, everybody got healed. The ones that was prayed for and the ones that didn't get prayed for. Everybody was healed. Everybody was ministered to. And I believe with all of my heart, and I just feel this is a little direction from the Holy Spirit directly to me. We're coming into a season that being in the presence is the place you're going to get much of what you're going to need. And you need to start it down by learning the sense. And so just take it and just start having a seat and say, Lord, I need to learn to sense when You're here. I need to learn to sense when You're here in a greater measure. And I said, don't put on music with words, because it leads you to a certain place. There are times I use that all the time. But when you put words, whoever's leading, speaking, see, the kingdom is established with words. words are important. So the words that's being said, that's why you should have your voice sounding at every church service that you're a part of, every time you go into the presence of God, because the key to the kingdom is words of faith. And that's the thing that turns it on and makes it work. So learn to sense and learn to do that. And it would be one of the greatest exercises that God would be able to just learn to find a place. Now, use praise. Praise music is praise music is what you use to celebrate God's. But you're talking about you don't want anybody leading you anywhere. You want God to be able to lead you into the place He wants you to. So, and then just sit there and just say, Lord, I'm gonna learn to sense You. Man, I used to do that. I used to go over to White Oak Lake as a yearly journey, stay in a camper there, put up a camper over there, and leave the kiddies and line everybody at home. And I would say, Lord, I've just come to be able to sense You. I must learn Your presence. And I did that like year after year on a journey. So you need to take the things. And now I know how to do it a little bit better. I could do it a lot quicker, I think, now. But the easiest way is to have you a place that you would regularly meet with God and say, Lord, I'm come here to sense. And just wait. Just be still. That word be still means be quiet. Be quiet. And know that I am God. And when you would quieten yourself and be still, you'll begin to sense the atmosphere around you change. And you will begin to sense God coming close to you. And then the next thing is you need to draw from the presence of God. The next thing, not only do you need to sense Him, the next thing, you need to learn how to draw. I mean, people run around and say, I need strength in the Lord. Just sit in His presence. God strengthens and heals everywhere He is. He is a healer. That's Him. He is healer. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is our healer. So there's no way of having the presence of God that you don't have a healer. See? And He's also a strengthener. He is a strengthener. That's who He is. So it's impossible to be in the presence of God without being strengthened. So learn to draw from that well. Learn to be in the presence of God. First, you want to learn to sense Him. Sense that God is coming near to you. And then the second thing you want to learn, in that presence, you want to learn to draw. You want to learn to draw from Him. And it's like liquid strength that begins to pour into you. That well that's on the inside of you first floods you before it's going to flood anybody else. And see, out of our belly shall flow, or out of our spirit, our inner will flow. And if I can just be still and quieten myself enough to know, then out of me will flow rivers of life-giving water. That's life-giving water. It says living water, but it's life-giving water. And it doesn't come out here. It comes from the presence in here. And so the life-giving water. All right, the third thing is, get prepared to follow us into battle. Get prepared to follow us into battle. People that hear me talk, they hear me. We were talking about prayer meeting yesterday. There's this subject called the war horse. it's such a powerful subject. There's such a powerful message in the war horse. And Revelation chapter 19, 11, how many know Jesus rides war horses? And do you know almost every place in the Bible that the word horse is mentioned, it means war horse? There's only like two or three places in all the Bible that every time you would read that war horse. A war horse is a specific trained, specific bred horse. We have a picture of him somewhere. Is this thing ready to go? Oh, there he is. All right, it's a specific bred horse. They say that in a war horse, and you know, they use war horses as late as the what was the conflict after World War II? Korean War. The most decorated horse ever been got decorated after Korean War. It saved unbelievable men's lives. But they when they talk about a war horse, a true war horse can literally stand by burning heat of a battle. And man, I have these videos of these war horses running in the middle of battle. But they say a war horse can literally stand by the burning heat of a battle, and his skin will melt and he won't move. He is so trained. He is so. And what he's waiting at any moment, he stands at attention and will not move until the one that is on him gives him the signal. And they said the unique thing about a war horse, one of the hardest things in preparation of a war horse is they have to be trained to go against the natural. Because they will charge what they was in the natural normally they would run from. So what? Because a horse is skittish. But a war horse is trained not to trust his senses anymore. Trust his rider. I so want to be trained by the Lord. I so want to be trained by the Lord to not trust my senses. I want to trust my rider. All right, in Revelation chapter 19, 11 says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." And in Zechariah 10:3, this is about the war horses. It says, "For the Lord of heaven's armies has arrived to look after Judah, his flock. He will make them strong and glorious like a proud war horse in battle." I tell you, so what the Lord does is make war horses that you can depend on. That's what the Lord said. We need you to follow us into some battles. And it's probably going to be some battles. And the Lord spoke to my heart yesterday morning, I believe it was. And he says, never go into a battle without a war horse is with you. I immediately thought of Donald McCrae. Because Donald McCrae is a seasoned war horse. So you want to become that, and you want to realize that the Lord wants to do that. Right, number four is that set yourself to be corrected. I stayed with that word corrected. That's probably a better word that I could be used there. But this is a sanctifying moment that we're living in. God's got to do some things. He's got to get things out of us and get other things into us. And scripture. Let's just look for a few scriptures. What talking about God's correcting us? All right. Proverbs 3:12 said, "For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights." Almost all the way in the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs begins with the father. That's why Paul referred to himself as a father, because God had placed him in to line up the armies for God, and so that's why Paul consistently called himself a father. And he consistently said who he's writing to. He called him his son. Because, see, a father has a right to correct a son. See, there's no argument with a father correcting a son. And that's why all the way through the Bible, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 12 says, "Mockers hate to be corrected." I tell you what, I've sat before some people, and honestly, and I would say, you know, I feel like this really needs to change. And before I could say that, they were mocking me back. You're saying I need to change. But see, mockers hate correction. Scorners hate correction. Mockers hate to be corrected. So they stay away from you. That's what it says here in the book of Proverbs. They stay away from you because they don't like to be corrected. Proverbs 1:25. But listen, this is a season for correction. It's a season for correction in my life, and it's a season for correction. You know, I had to call somebody yesterday, and it was a delight, though, but I had to call and say, I failed you. I failed you. I mean, this is a season for correction. Because anywhere that there is a place that's open to the enemy, the viper is going to strike. Oh, man. Okay, all right, then it says, Proverbs 1:25 said, you ignored my advice and rejected the correction I offered. They rejected my advice and paid no attention when I corrected them. Verse 31 says, therefore they must eat the bitter fruit of their living their own way. If a person won't be corrected, if they won't allow themselves, if correction is rejection to you, if correction is rejection to you, then you'll never be able to be a leader in the kingdom. I just want you to know that right at the start. Because correction has become a delight according to the book of Hebrews. It has to become a delight because God only is correcting us in our lives because God wants us to have something else in life than where we're going. It's what it says. See, they rejected my advice and paid no attention when I corrected them. Therefore, they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way. So, choking on their own schemes. Hebrews 12:7 says, you must submit and endure correction for discipline. That's what it said. You must do that. God is dealing with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not train and correct and discipline? What good father would do that? What good father would not do that, would not correct and discipline? The only people that you won't correct and discipline is really people you don't love. Because people that you love, because you don't want them to receive something bad for going their own way. So, God's so good. Hebrews chapter 13:7. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls. Now, there's an independent thing. This church is not, don't believe in that, y'all. Years ago, I was a member of the Lions Club, not the good Lions Club head. Here was the Lions Club we had out across the river. And that was a good club. But this is not a club. And we don't just sit around coming up with the best ideas. This thing is supernatural. And this church is supernatural. And has to be run supernaturally. And like I said, it's not who can come up with the best idea how to do this. We all love ideas and we use those because God did give us brains. But our hearts always take prerequisite over our heads. It has to be spiritual. Praise God. And 1 Peter 5:9, that's the one I always have a problem with during this season. It said, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight. This is such a command to me. It's almost like a hard command. Take the oversight of it. I have to do that to be right with God. I have to take it. That is, if we're going to walk together here. So anyway, all right, number five. And what time is it? 2:30, okay, all right. All right, number five. It's get understanding of this principle. Now, this is one of the most important principles I want to teach you of the belief of this church. I used to teach this principle. I've taught this principle 30 years ago, 20 years ago. I mean, this is the most important principle that you're going to hear today. If anybody ever comes to me and says, I'm going to quit the church. You won't find a tear flowing from my eye. I hate to see people go, but because I believe this principle. This is the principle of God building his kingdom. All right, John chapter 17. Jeremy, can you find that over there, talking about the principle? Can you find those on there? Okay, yeah. All right, let's just walk through these scriptures right here. Go through the... Okay. All right, it says, Now I am no longer in the world. This is Jesus. This is the concept of Jesus teaching us how to shepherd a flock and shepherd a church. He said, now I'm no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name. Notice what? Those whom you have given me. The truth of the matter is, many of you here, God has given you to me, and he's given me to you. That's the truth. If you've been given to me by the Lord, shame on you that you would ever think about leaving. Shame on you that you would never, ever come to a place you would think about not working things out, not working through things. Shame on you. Because if God has united, but if you don't know that, it'd be better for you not to be in leadership. Because when war horses begin to run by each other, everything is not calm all the time. And believe it or not, everything is not sweet all the time. Sometimes, Gary, it gets like an Arkansas Razorback ball game. And coaches begin to scream. You understand? Passionate. Passionate war horses. That's why war horses run together. War horses, we're engaged in battle. And the Jesus owner has sensed that we're to move out. And we begin to move out right forward. Sister Dorothy Green, one of the most precious members of our church and one of the greatest intercessors of the church, had a dream in here Saturday 2 weeks ago. She saw a vision in the middle of prayer. And this is the vision that she saw. She had no idea what a passion I have toward war horses. But is to be that war horse for the Lord. But Sister Dorothy, she saw this whole team of big horses running. They was harnessed together. She said, help you understand it, she said it was like stagecoach days. And she said, but I didn't see the stagecoach. She said, what I saw was I saw this huge, massive running team. Running at full blast, harnessed together. But said the front horses had blinders on. And they couldn't look around. Now, anybody ever work a mule? Yeah, Larry. I live with one. All right, I know where you're going, girl. But, George Garman, I used to be so amazed. Back when I was a kid, George and his family lived right down the road from me. And George's dad, what he did was he worked teams of horses in the woods to haul logs. Believe it or not, they didn't have haulers. They didn't have things that picked up those logs. They would take teams of horses. And I was amazed because George's dad had one. I used to just sit there as a kid and just watch it. Because he never had to get behind them. He could sit there and talk to those horses. He'd say, tell them when to back up. Now, they don't use language like we do. Like, they use language like G and haw and weird languages like that. Mule talk. But anyway, but those huge team of horses, they'd back right up to a log, all the men had to do it, and then they would step exactly where that they were told to. I mean, it was a beautiful thing to watch. If you ever have an opportunity to, they still have some of them just for show. But man, this is one of the most beautiful because that's what Sister Dorothy saw. It was this huge set of horses running like in the stagecoach days, harnessed together. But on the front of them, they had the they had the blinders on. They could not. They had to focus one way. That's straight in front. They couldn't be distracted. And then Sister Dorothy said, all I saw was the ends of the reins. And it was Jesus' hands on that rein. And that's what the Lord wants to happen. God wants to get us focused, get us harnessed up. Now, you know, it takes a while to harness. If you've never harnessed I remember my brother-in-law came down the farm one time, and he was raised kind of in the big city of Fordyce. And so, but he wasn't raised around animals. And so he worked and worked trying to get the harness on the horse outside. Finally, he gave up, and we finally went out there, and he put the harness on all backwards because trying to figure out how the pieces all fit. But it would take time to do that. It would take time. It takes time to harness up, and it's going to take time. But it's important that we. But see, the problem is this: when you're running as a team, that's why Sister Dorothy. It was just the front that had the focus, because see, the horse behind focuses on the horse in front of them. See, each team, they focus on front. The front horses, they have to be tried and true. Because they've learned not to focus on any distractions that are around them. And so the Lord is God's got to, we're going to move some massive, Jesus is going to, I believe that this last day experience is going to be one of the most glorious experiences that we've ever known. And I believe it's going to be so wonderful. I believe the church is going to be the miraculous church that according to the Bible before the coming of the Lord. God's going to give us opportunity to enter back into some of the wonderful, wonderful things that had seemed like been lost out of the church. And so it's going to take lined up, and it's going to take harnessed together. All right, the principle. All right, now notice this principle. It said, those to whom God's given me. The truth of the matter is, some of you have been given to me by the Lord. And I've been given to you as your pastor. I pray everybody here does. I pray everybody. But specifically, Jesus didn't pray. Now, when he prayed there, he wasn't praying about the 70 that he sent out one time. And he wasn't praying about the other 70 that he sent out another time. And Jesus was not praying about the 5,000 that he fed. Or the 4,000 that he fed. Jesus was praying about 11 men that had been given to him by the Holy Spirit. And he said, Father, those which you hath given to me have lost. Now, go to the next verse now. So it's just important to know that God gives it. Let me tell you this. None of us build the church. If you think you're a church builder, shame on you. The Bible says, upon this rock, Jesus said, I will build my church. Jesus is the church builder. What we do is obey God, and he builds the church. He builds them in miracles. He builds them in healings. He builds them in number. Jesus the builder. All right, just says again, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Talking about that 11. Wasn't talking about the 5,000. Wasn't talking about the 4,000. It was talking about the 11 men that had been given to him. And the amazing thing about it is Jesus took 11 men and changed the entire universe. That's amazing. How Jesus took 11 people that he knew was given to him, and that they knew that they were given by God. They knew that they were yoked together by God. In that, remember the vision that Dorothy had, the team of horses? That were knew that they'd been harnessed together by God, and said, those whom you've given to. Now go to the next verse. However, those the Father has given me will come to me. See, somebody says, why did you come here? Well, I'll tell you why you came here. God drew you. If you're here by the Holy Spirit. The church at one time, I remember when we had 35 people in the church, and one Sunday we went to a church running 435, I think it was. And so during that, right after that, growth and God doing there, I went away to a church growth. In fact, I went to Marvin Garman's church growth convention in New Orleans, Louisiana. And while I was there, I felt the Holy Spirit come to me and say, Jerry, how many people do you have? I immediately responded with the number of people that was on that record. One of those records like Steve was talking about this morning, where you put the number up on the beside the thing. So I immediately said, Lord, I'm so thankful. But God, you've given to us 435. He immediately corrected me. And he said, Jerry, I've given you 3 as of yet. Said, everyone else is along for the ride. But there's 3 that I've given to you by my spirit. And if you will go back and concentrate on those, I'll build a great church. So those, for those who have given to me, what did they do? They come to us. They're drawn by the Spirit of God. Man, what I see is this. I see that God is like this huge magnet. And that's why it's so important to sit in the presence of God. When you're sitting in the presence of God, you will begin to sense that. You will begin to see, you will begin to sense the magnetism of the Lord. As you sit in the presence of God and learn to sense God and learn to draw in from God, you'll be able to draw healing, but you'll begin to sense this aurora of God. And it becomes like a magnet. And it works like this. The magnet pulls in. You turn it around, it repels out. So it's God that those that God had given to me, you know what they're happening to them? They're pulling. But you know what? Those that God has not given to me? Because they belong somewhere else. They belong to another pastor. Go to the next verse, please. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest or shown that none of them were, I forgot for the rest of that verse, of us. So when somebody comes to me and says, Jerry, I'm leaving, it breaks my heart inside over friendships, but it does not break my heart over what God does. Because I'll be honest with you, when I want a war horse beside me, I want a war horse that knows that they're there by God. And there's never a threat of a separating. And if there's a threat in their heart that they're separating, they wasn't mine to start with. That's what that verse says. Isn't that what that verse says? And so that just, you're talking about, makes it clear. So what you just simply do, you stop and start asking yourself, in your heart, what do you, because you got to come to terms. You can't be a leader, really. You'll never be in, unless you come to terms with that. You got to come to grips with that in your heart. If I've been sent here by God, then me, because I'm going to tell you what, when rubber gets rolled and bullets start flying and smoke from those guns start lifting up and you can't tell who's next to you, you got to know it's somebody that knows they're there of the Lord. You got to know that. I don't run with deserters. I don't. Things too important to me. And the truth of the matter is, sometimes people just belong to another shepherd. And they'll never be happy until they find that shepherd. And so, if there's a threat in your heart of leaving, I would go look for your shepherd. I would. I'd go look for your shepherd. Because the truth of the matter is, if there's not that magnetism, we'll never do anything together for the Lord. If there's not a drawing, if there's not a pulling in the Spirit of God to you, if it's not supernatural, if you're just looking for the church that's got the coldest water or the best orange juice or the best donuts or the best playground and all of that stuff, then honey, you're in this thing for the wrong reasons. You shouldn't be a leader. You can be part of the sheep. Sheep can have all kind of weird feelings and thinking, but you're never part of the leadership. Okay. So that's the principle. All right. Then number five, what we need to do, we need to get free. We need to get free. There's Jezebel's spirit. Now I really believe that there are these various four alignments, but I don't care if you know names. There's some people you would understand a whole lot better by thinking about attitudes. Because spirits of darkness develop attitudes in people. That's what they do. They develop an attitude toward life, an attitude toward a church, an attitude toward people. They develop attitudes, is what it is. And so, if you're being influenced by, there's different stages of that thing. First is influence. The first stage that an evil spirit does when it comes against any of us, the first step is influence. You know what influence means? That means you hang around a skunk, you'll start smelling like a skunk. And I tell you what, sometimes I'm traveling on a road and a skunk has been there and my car will start smelling just like that thing. Now, is that thing part of it? No. Because that's only the first step. But when you're under attack, what you've got to know, every one of us are being influenced by evil spirits. Every one of us are. But we've determined not to move to that next stage, because that next stage is when I begin to agree with that evil spirit. Because the way that evil spirit does, that evil spirit comes and begins to put thoughts into your mind. That's the way they do. They always deal. That's why they're casting down imaginations. They try to exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The spirit of Jezebel. You know what the word Jezebel means? Now, there's a lot of things, and we're going to show you. We got gobs and if you would really like to be taught and understand some of these spirits, Robert Morris teaches on them. Jimmy Evans teaches on the Jezebel spirit. Man, one of the most powerful ones we got here is by Jimmy Evans, the marriage teacher. We've got a host of wonderful, wonderful teachers that teach. And what I want you to do is, if you're interested in learning about that, I want you to text 818-4440 and tell me. Say, I would like to receive information. And I will begin to forward you connections to some tremendous teachings on these subjects. But it's the spirit of Jezebel, the spirit of Absalom, Python, and Leviathan. Don't get caught up in names. Although I do think it helps to address the issue. But you know what the main characteristic of Jezebel is? Well, intimidation is where you feel it. You feel intimidated. And you also feel the spirit of Jezebel by, I'll make you suffer. it's like a woman. It's what he really is. It's like a woman that says, unless you do, honey, what I want you to do, don't come to bed with me tonight. You know? That's the spirit of Jezebel. But it doesn't matter whether it's woman or man. I mean, it really doesn't, because spirit operates in both. And men do very similar things. One little simple line that helps you understand that spirit: it will not cohabit. That's what the word Jezebel means. No cohabitation. It will not join together. It has to lead all the time. It will not join. It won't join a woman that's given to a Jezebel spirit in her home. She won't join. She will not be joined. She's always working deals. You do this, or you pay a price. See, it's always dealing. Men do the same things. I've been threatened in so many ways by Jezebel spirits from men. They always say, man, I tell you, Pastor, you do that, or I'm sorry. I can't give way to a spirit. I can't allow a spirit to control us. But what it does, these spirits come in forms of thoughts. And so when you drive along the road, you start smelling like a skunk. So everybody, but when these spirits are, you will be enticed No matter how much you love the Lord, and probably if you love the Lord more, the more enticed you will be. You will be enticed to make an agreement. What that means is to begin to think like that Spirit thinks. And if you begin to think like that Spirit thinks, what happens is when you begin to think like that Spirit, it becomes a stronghold. Now, if you have given way to these spirits, the spirit of Python, that sounds the most ridiculous one, but that one is one that's most direct in the Bible. You know, in the book of Acts where Paul, remember the little girl that he cast that devil out of? It's the word pathos or Python. It's the literally word there in the Greek. That's where it comes from. Said he cast out that spirit of Python. And what that is, that is a sorcerer's spirit. It's tied in, it conjures things up from the past. And so it comes to you with thought patterns in that same way to conjure things up from the past. It'll conjure up feelings from the past. It'll conjure up thoughts from the past. It'll conjure up hurts from the past. It conjures things up from the past and tries to make that things that happened in the past. And if most people understood and they say, well, correction is rejection, there's a spirit that's got you tied to a rejection in the past. And you're not living today. I was talking to somebody the other day, and it just amazing. I mean, I was talking to somebody, and all of a sudden when I was talking to them, it was a grown person, and immediately I was talking to a child. Immediately. Because that spirit, that influence had them tied in to voices of the past. So much it controlled them. So anyway, in the name of Jesus, we're not going to give way. Can you say amen? We're going to learn how to resist it. We're going to learn how to resist them. But now we're fixing to enter into the month of September. We're going to join Gateway again with a simulcast. This simulcast is going to be on deliverance. Because any time that you have given way over a period of time with thought patterns that are from a spirit, you become to agree with those. Next stage, you become to react under those. You begin to act like that. That's what that spirit wants you to begin to act. He wants to act through you. It's a stronghold. And you probably are going to need help to be delivered. You can fight out of that thing, but it's going to be hard. But during the month of September, we're joining Gateway, and we're going to help fight through these things and get them out of our lives. So in the name of Jesus, we can be free to serve the Lord in freedom. Can you say amen? And God's going to help us do that. So, Lord, by the Holy Spirit. So anybody, you kind of understand a little bit of the concept, right? Why don't you take out your communion cup real quick? Get the bread. I just want to ask you, what's the Lord told you to conquer? What is it? Just think about it there. What has the Lord told me to conquer? Is it hurt feelings? Is it voices from your past? Is it you can't be joined in one? You're always got to be in the lead. You can't be allow yourself to be joined together. You have a hard time joining together with the church. You have a hard time joining together in a home. You have a hard time joining. What has the Lord told you to conquer? What has the Lord told you to conquer? What has the Lord told you to conquer? The cross has power to conquer it. Would you take that bread out if you would? This bread represents that cross, the broken body of Jesus. That's what the cross is. It's the broken body of Jesus. Jesus became broken so I could be healed and so I could be delivered. Jesus became broken. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I want you to say this with the Lord. I want you to say, Lord, I hold the cross up in the form of this broken bread. And I'm holding this cross up against, now you go ahead, let me, I'll do my, you go ahead, against what? What's the Lord told you to conquer? go ahead and tell the Lord, what has God told you to conquer? What has God told you to conquer? Say, Lord, with this bread, I plant the cross against that you've told me to conquer. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you know what mine was? I'll just tell you, mine was the fear. It was fear. It was fear of hurting people. Because it's not an easy task for me to move into this position. It's not an easy task. And so there's a fear of always hurting. But in the name of Jesus, false fears fall before that cross. Can you say amen? Now, what is the Lord? What is the Lord wanting to bring alive in you? With that juice, what is the Lord wanting to bring alive? Is it a marriage relationship? Is there something? What is the Lord wanting to bring alive? What is the Lord wanting to bring alive? Lord, in Jesus' name. What's the Lord wanting to bring alive? It could be relations between a husband and a wife. It could be health. It could be, make my finances live, Lord. It could be a ministry that has tried to die, that you want to believe God, that God's going to bring alive. It could be, it could be help for your children. What is it that God's put in your heart that he wants to bring alive? Say, Jesus, thank you for your blood. Your blood is the life of God. Because the Bible says life is in the blood. So as I partake of this right now, I'm partaking of the God kind of life, causing this to live. Now go ahead and tell God go ahead and tell the Lord what you're believing is living. That blood is going to bring alive. Just tell God what it is you believe. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, so much. 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 Thank you, Jesus, so much. Thank you, Jesus, so much. Thank you, Jesus. Now, from this moment forward, if you're going to be a leader, the Bible says there's two qualifications that the book of Acts looks for. One is full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit. So, full of faith. Now, full of faith, that means from this moment on, you've got to be a warhorse over that you believe God's bringing to life. You've got to quit complaining about it. And from this moment forward, you've got to begin praising God for it. You've got to begin to praise God that his life is going to be in that. Amen? That's where war. You have to be trained to deny your senses, and you've got to be trained to trust God no matter what it looks like. Let's stand together, if you would. Lord, we just give you praise and thanksgiving. Let's just take our little hands and just raise them up toward heaven tonight. Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Father. I just want to thank you, Lord. Go ahead and tell the Lord what's going to live. Go ahead and say, Lord, it's worth it serving you, Lord. Man, you're a good God. You're a good God. You're a good God. Man, you bring to life that which was dead, Lord. You bring to life. You cause it to live, Lord. You're causing it to live. Somebody get a little happy in it. You're causing it to live, Lord. You're just causing it to live. You're causing it to live, Lord. You're causing it to live, Lord. You're causing it to live. You're causing it to live. In Jesus' name.